Greetings, my friends. The topic of this three-part bonus segment of the emergency message is aliens. I realize this may seem like a wild topic, one that perhaps causes you to question my wisdom and credibility. But please hear me out. Consider what Gary and I have to say, because we have given a lot of forethought to addressing this topic, and we believe that what we have to say is important. Let me begin by noting that I am a pragmatic, sensible, conservative, grounded man. I have spent decades in high-level positions in the tech industry. I work with numbers, algorithms, data warehouse architecture, and computer systems. In many ways, I am a man of science. I follow logic and scientific methods. My wife is a physician. My son is a scientist, having a PhD. And so was my father, who had a PhD in civil engineering. And my friend Gary, who is sharing in this message with me, he is conservative and grounded too. He has pastored for decades and written over a dozen books on Bible prophecy and written hundreds of articles. He is a watchman of the Lord like me. He is not one to speculate or get caught up in fanciful controversies or conspiracy theories. Now, with that as a foundation, let me ask you, have millions of people just disappeared all over the world from every people group and language, every economic status, every education level, all suddenly vanishing instantaneously in the blink of an eye? Was it caught by cameras and on live TV? Are you watching streaming news stories reporting cars, planes, trains, ships crashing? As this unfolds on the news, are there reports showing clothing, jewelry, wallets, phones, purses all on the ground in a heap? Many houses and apartments suddenly don't have anyone inside any longer. They appear to have abandoned their possessions. Are there reports of some prisoners missing from their jail cells? Is there widespread chaos and looting as people see an opportunity to steal? Friend, let me say, it is very likely that world leaders will try to dismiss the rapture event by suggesting the disappearances is the result of alien abduction or incursion. The thought of aliens coming to Earth for nefarious purposes is frightening, and in the minds of most alive today, highly plausible. Hollywood movies have primed us for the day when it is announced that aliens have suddenly attacked and/or taken people away. Such invasion and abduction narratives are numerous and have been occurring worldwide for decades. This moment in history has been carefully crafted to deceive the world. Evil government leaders will likely leverage this alien cover story to stoke fears of yet another event whereby millions more will potentially disappear. It will hang over humanity like a dark threat. They will use this alien story to support their bid for a new global world government with sweeping powers. Unprecedented measures must be taken to combat this new threat and to keep you safe, they will say. They will justify this new global system because individual nations are ill-equipped to recover from what has just occurred. Let us think critically for a moment. Using aliens as a cover story will accomplish several key goals. One, it will explain away the disappearance of millions of born-again followers of Jesus Christ without recognizing that the Bible is true or that God is good. They will insist that the rapture is a fictional event in the Bible, that the word rapture can't be found in the Bible, and therefore does not explain what happened. They will use overwhelming propaganda and logic to convince the world that they are right. 2. Expect an immense amount of censorship that blocks or obfuscates any searches or discussion about Bible prophecy having predicted this event nearly 2,000 years ago. expect any searches that seek to explore the word harpazo, which is Greek for the Latin word rapturo, from which we get the English term rapture, to be highly censored. They will suppress a biblical worldview for what has just happened. 3. These disappearances will generate fear, and fear is a powerful tool that can be wielded to control the masses. 4. It will justify changes in government sovereignty, laws, and economics, which is exactly what the book of Revelation says the emerging leader of the one world government, financial, and religious systems will do. The Bible identifies this charismatic, brilliant, likable man as the Antichrist. He is pure evil, so be warned about what he says. Gary and I do not know exactly what role aliens will play after the rapture, but we do believe there is a high probability that aliens will be blamed for the disappearance of millions who were taken from all over the world. They will suppress any mention that the disappearances were caused by Jesus Christ in a long prophesied event called the rapture. It is equally likely that the threat of an alien attack or invasion will be used to usher in martial law that will force sweeping changes in government, which ultimately the Antichrist will use to control the masses. At the time of this recording, a well-known physicist posted the following YouTube video on June 8, 2022. It was entitled, Physicist Michio Kaku on the Shift in the UFO Phenomenon. In the video, he responds to questions from an interviewer and reveals some shocking observations about supposed unidentified aerial phenomenon. What is revealed is that UAPs have observable velocities from Mach 5 to Mach 20, can fly with abrupt zigzag flight path, which scientists have calculated would subject occupants to several hundred times the force of gravity, can drop 70,000 feet in just a few seconds, can go underwater and move without creating an exhaust or breaking the sound barrier. We must reason together right now and think critically. What is witnessed with these alien sightings is not possible and violates every known law of physics. Yes, our understanding of the laws of physics continues to develop nuances. That is indeed true. But they have never, ever contradicted previously known and proven laws. So which is the more likely explanation? Is it that what is being observed are interstellar aliens from some faraway place demonstrating new technology? Or are these interdimensional beings that have the appearance of aliens but are actually fallen angels? This would be the biblical worldview. These fallen angels, known as demons, deceive, distract us, and confuse people. Isn't it interesting that what is pushed by the media, governments, scientists, and even remaining religious figures is that God is not real, the Bible is false, and that these aliens are the benevolent hope of humanity? Gary and I are fairly certain that it will be proven somehow that aliens seeded and thus created life on Earth, and that it was not the God of the Bible that created the Earth. There are an entire collection of Hollywood movies dedicated to pushing this narrative. Take, for example, the movie Mission to Mars in the year 2000, or the 2012 Ridley Scott film Prometheus. Those that do not read the Bible for themselves or that believe these fantastic movies and news reports will be greatly deceived, leading to destruction. Let me turn things over to Gary now, who will share a little foundation for the alien narrative. Gary?
Thank you, Scott. I love history, and in studying ancient civilizations, I found that many cultures of antiquity have stories and drawings and legends that seem to reference aliens. There are myths, legends, huge unusual structures in England, Old Assyria, Turkey, Taiwan, Crete, Egypt, India, Mexico, Peru, Chile, Greece, and Italy, just to name a few. There are stories about fire chariots in the sky, pictures of humanoid creatures wearing what appears to be space helmets. There are pictures of our solar system with 10 planets in ancient Sumeria. There are giant petroglyphs in many parts of the world. These are large pictures etched in rock, so large that they could only be seen from the sky. Many Sanskrit stories, which were written in India more than 2 millennia ago, contain information about mythical flying machines called Vimanas. Egypt's Giza pyramid is not only an incredible feat of engineering for its time, it lies at the intersection of the longest lines of latitude and longitude on the globe. How is that possible? In India, Mahabharata and Ramayana are ancient epics that reference great battles, nuclear-like explosions, and flying machines. It would be easy to speak for an hour on these baffling archaeological and historical things, but my goal here is simply to note that talk of alien encounters is not new. And just because these stories are old, it does not mean that the stories are true. Are there mysterious anomalies in some ancient architecture and technology? Yes. The pyramids, Stonehenge, Easter Island, the Mayan celestial calendar, the Greek Antikytheria mechanism. There are many mysteries, but they do not prove the existence of advanced alien life, friend or foe. Let me move now to a related but different topic, Satan. The Bible describes Satan as a fallen angel, a cunning deceiver. He is called the father of lies and is presented as a master strategist who knows he cannot win in a direct battle with God. And so he seeks to hurt God by stealing away the hearts and minds of as many people as possible. God loves people. He loves his creation. And when Satan hurts us, blinds us to truth, and leads us away from where God wants us to be, well, that not only hurts us, it hurts God. What about you? Satan may think that he has won you over. If millions are missing and the rapture has taken place, he may believe he has effectively blinded you to the truth and kept you from salvation. Yes, Satan may have been busy in your life. He is good at what he does, but God has been busy too, and he is great at what he does. You missed the rapture, but it's not too late to turn to God and find both forgiveness and salvation. Satan, known in the Bible as the deceiver, has sown seeds of fear and confusion in every corner of the world. He has spun myths and lies about alien encounters so that now, in the 21st century, the stories seem plausible. Many on college campuses, students, and faculty believe that life on Earth came from aliens and not from God. And most fear the thought of an alien encounter. In fact, we talk more in terms of alien invasion than an alien invitation to acquire enhanced medical, energy, or food production technology. In short, aliens are scary, shadowy creatures who do not reveal their true nature. Do you know what that describes? Demons. Scott and I have already noted many reports of alien encounters in mainstream media. There's evidence of unidentified aerial objects caught on camera, radar, and eyewitness accounts too numerous to mention here. You may have observed increased evidence of these flying objects on TV and streaming services recently. You may have seen what looks like aliens landing somewhere and coming out of one of these spacecrafts to great fanfare. We expect that the supporting evidence for aliens will be visually overwhelming and will influence and deceive many. Demons are scary, shadowy creatures that deceive. I believe Satan and his demons have birthed myriads of alien mythologies so that now, in the 21st century, aliens can be used as a scapegoat, a false story to discredit what is likely being called the rapture myth, or the rapture conspiracy theory. So expect any reference to the rapture to be fact-checked by those who want to maintain a particular narrative. Understand that there are powerful interests and tech companies that are trying to keep you from a biblical worldview and understanding what really happened. Fear of aliens will open the door for a rapidly formed global government that will introduce new laws to lock down and seize control. Movement can then be restricted. Weapons can be confiscated. Facial recognition and tracking will be the new norm. Communications will be monitored. Vaccines will be mandated. Taxes will be imposed, and more, all under the guise of protecting humanity from the alien invasion. The book of Revelation speaks of what is going to happen in the near future. There will be a new world leader whom the Bible refers to as the Antichrist. There will be a global government, a global economy, with a programmable digital currency that will take the place of paper currency and coins. There will be the ability to track and limit what items can be purchased, and the ability to limit access to work and likely medical care. And there will be a global false religion. There will be a massive loss of individual rights and freedoms. What I have just shared with you is far from where the world is today, but the COVID pandemic showed us just how fast things can change, and things will get worse. The technology to implement the mark of the beast is already here. The only thing that is missing is that critical event to knock down that first domino, which will justify or motivate the masses to accept the significant changes that are coming. There will be war. There will likely be another pandemic, but I believe it will be an alien invasion cover story that psychologically motivates the citizens of the world to embrace change, the kind of change we read about in the book of Revelation. Let me pass the baton back to Scott for the next part of this message. He'll share a little about what the Bible has to say on this important topic.
Thank you, Gary. This is part 2 of 3 of our bonus section of our post-rapture emergency message, dealing with the subject of a very probable worldwide deception concerning aliens. If you have not yet heard part 1, please be sure to listen to it first. We believe the enemy will use aliens to try to explain away the rapture, to introduce fear to control the masses and demean the Christian and Jewish faiths. We also believe it is our duty as brothers in the faith and watchmen for the Lord to warn you about this. We want to share how some may try to use the Bible to actually justify their attempts to discredit the Christian faith and/or the Word of God. Let me take a few minutes to share what some may say to support the false alien narrative. Here are 6 arguments the authorities, media, religious figures, and governments may use to convince people that the Bible is not true or that the Bible itself references alien encounters. Number 1. Some may suggest the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 21, indicates there are aliens. There we read, quote, "Do not mistreat an alien or oppress him," unquote. Do some Bible translations use the word alien in Exodus 22:21? Yes. However, the word means foreigner, a non-Hebrew person. This is made clear when reading the entire passage. Quote, "Do not mistreat an alien or oppress him, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt," unquote. Reading verses out of context can seem to support false teachings. However, here and in Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34, we see that the term alien simply refers to foreigners, not to extraterrestrials. 2. Some may suggest that the angels in the Bible are aliens. In the sense that they are foreign to this place, the term alien applies. However, they are not beings from another planet, nor the spacefaring entities Hollywood typically depicts in sci-fi movies. Note that in the Bible, angels come from heaven and give glory to God. For example, when a mighty angel is sent to Daniel, which is found in Daniel chapter 10, verses 7 through 11, he falls to the ground in homage to the glorious being, but the angel raises him to his feet, noting that we are only to worship God, and tells Daniel that he has been sent from the Father. This confirms that angels are not nefarious aliens, but messengers from God. Note also that the word angel in Greek, the original language of the New Testament, is angelos, which means messenger. 3. We learn two more facts from the Bible. Fallen angels are called demons, and Hebrews 13:2 indicates that angels can take human form. Though demons in Scripture are generally depicted as ghost-like creatures possessing or oppressing humans, it is possible for them to take human form too. Most believe, quote, the sons of God, unquote, referenced in Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, refers to fallen angels. These entities took human form and had intimate relations with human women. Their offspring were the Nephilim, the giants and mighty men of renown, referenced in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. The verses that follow in Genesis 6 indicate that evil multiplied quickly on earth after the introduction of the Nephilim, which prompted God to bring judgment in the form of a flood that affected the entire world. Many believe it is possible that before the flood, these mighty men of renown introduced mythologies and technology which allowed for seemingly advanced architecture, sculptures, moving of rock, placement of pyramids, the creation of cosmic calendars, and more. My point here is that spiritual creatures can take human form, communicate with, and impact humanity. But these entities are not aliens who travel to Earth in starships. They are spiritual beings created by God that became corrupted. They are not from space and are not from intergalactic worlds, although that is what they will say. They are fallen angels able to go in and out of our dimension. They can be here one moment and then seemingly disappear. 4. Some may say the vision Ezekiel records in Ezekiel chapter 1, the immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light, the center of the fire looked like glowing metal, is a reference to an alien spacecraft. Yes, the vision is strange and fantastic, but the vision in Ezekiel 1 and also in chapter 10 does not depict an alien encounter, but rather a glimpse of the glory of God. Ezekiel confirms this many times in his writing. 5. Some may suggest the pillar of fire and light referenced in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 through 15, verse 18, is alien technology. This is not true. The Bible clearly notes that the glorious sight was a manifestation of God, not evidence of aliens. Also note that this pillar of fire and light is benevolent. It guides and protects God's people. 6. Some may suggest that Jesus' statement, quote, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, unquote, that's found in John 10, verse 16, indicates the existence of aliens. That is not true. In John 10, Jesus was referencing God's plan to save and redeem people across the globe, not just the Jews in Judea. The Lord's statement points to the Gentiles who would soon come to faith in him after the birth of the New Testament church in Acts chapter 2. Mysterious happenings and encounters are noted in the Bible. However, these encounters are between humans and angels, between humans and demons, or between humans and God. The people who experienced these encounters believed this, and devoted spiritual leaders throughout the ages have taught this. The idea of extraterrestrial life traveling to Earth and interacting with humanity has no biblical foundation and is likely a lie the enemy will use to confuse, deceive, and frighten people in the aftermath of the rapture. Satan wants to distract you from the truth of the gospel as presented in the Bible. Let me turn the discussion back over to Gary, who will briefly share how in recent decades the media has prepped the world for the coming deception.
Thank you, Scott. Writers such as Jules Verne and old TV shows like Buck Rogers popularized the idea of space travel. But by the 1950s, movies often depicted extraterrestrial life as vicious and hostile, intent on the destruction of humanity. Invasion of the Body Snatchers and the War of the Worlds instilled fear, if not dread. Darker remakes of the 50s thrillers are worse. And in recent years, the Alien movies, the Cloverfield movies, the M. Night Shyamalan movies, Oblivion, Independence Day, Predator, Pacific Rim, Moonfall, and more show aliens to be powerful, evil, and merciless. Though NASA has spent billions on searching the skies for signals or signs of intelligent life, it has yet to offer definitive proof of extraterrestrial life. Beware of what is reported by research coming from CERN, C-E-R-N, and the new James Webb Space Telescope. Now, I'm not precluding the possibility that there can be life on other planets somewhere in the universe, but I am saying that if millions suddenly disappear on Earth, it's not because aliens took them. The volume of seemingly convincing material you will be forced to filter through will seem overwhelming. Remember, in the Bible, Luke, Mark, Matthew, Paul, Jesus, Solomon, David, John, Zephaniah, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, they all speak of or predicted the rapture event. Nevertheless, today, the media, universities, the military, government leaders, they all openly talk about aliens. Almost every major newspaper, magazine, and media site regularly post information about aliens. Over the decades, books, comic strips, TV shows, and movies have helped to condition people to fear, if not downright anticipate, an alien encounter. It's all part of an elaborate ruse that Scott and I believe will be used to explain away one of the most profound displays of God's mercy and power the world has ever known, the catching up of millions and perhaps hundreds of millions of born-again believers and young innocent children to escape the time of tribulation that is to come. Satan is the great deceiver. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 notes that he has the power to deceive via, quote, signs and wonders. Explaining away the rapture will be one of his crowning achievements, the results of thousands of years of sowing lies, myths, legends, and fear. When Jesus spoke of what would take place in the last days, he warned, quote, take heed that no man deceive you, Matthew 24, verse 4. So be wise. Remember, Satan is an expert at what he does. His lies are compelling, and many will blindly follow because they are not grounded in the Bible and have trouble distinguishing the truth from lies or manipulation, propaganda, and deception. In Revelation 13:13, we read that the Antichrist, empowered by Satan, will manifest, quote, great wonders in the sight of men. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, the Apostle Paul warned that Satan is able to reveal himself as an angel of light. His words can appear to be true, and he can appear to be beautiful and good, but he is not. And his words are not. He is pure evil. He's the enemy of God and humanity. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12, the Apostle Paul warns that there will be a, quote, strong delusion, and that, quote, many will believe the lie. Don't be among them. The enemy loves to lie and cause great fear and confusion. But you know the truth. You know where truth can be found in the Bible. We pray you read it, memorize it, study it, and share that truth with others. That's your mission now, to learn the truth of the gospel and the plan of salvation as taught in the Bible. Do as much as you can, help as many as you can, for as long as you can. That's what it means to live for the Lord. And that's the path to finishing well for the Lord. If the rapture has taken place, then the rise of the Antichrist is in the wings. The world has approximately 7 more years as we know it. The 7-year tribulation period that's profiled in the book of Revelation begins when the Antichrist signs, strengthens, or renews a peace covenant with Israel. A season of incredible and unprecedented tribulation, persecution, change, war, starvation, disease, and death is coming to the entire world. This is not the result of climate change or a climate emergency. This is the wrath of God being poured out on a sinful and unrepentant generation. Listen now. Your old goals, they're no longer valid. Your degrees, your home, jobs, titles, investments, they will all soon have little value and meaning. Soon the economy and government structure of the world will completely collapse. Fear and misery will abound. Many will lose hope. Suicides and crime will be rampant. The Bible predicts that many will die. But in Christ, there is hope. In fact, your only hope. Jesus is coming again at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. His coming will conclude the battle of Armageddon, and then he will renew the earth and usher in a season of glorious peace on earth. This is often referred to as the millennial reign of Christ. Jesus Christ will reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. He will restore all things and reign with power and in righteousness. And you can live for Christ today. If you share God's truth and your testimony, you can be a powerful witness for God for the rest of your life. The books and videos and documents and audio files in the downloadable Rapture Kit resource available on this website will help you learn what you need to know. It's a free resource with no registration required. The church is gone. It's been raptured, caught up to be with the Lord in the air, just as the Bible predicted. But the materials in the Rapture Kit can equip you to be part of the greatest work of God in these last days. You are what we call a tribulation saint if you put your full faith, trust, and belief in Jesus. A mighty and honorable invitation to serve the Lord with courage and boldness is being extended to you right now. It's no coincidence that you are listening to this message. The Spirit of God is at work here, now, prompting you to yield to His leading and to commit to serve the Lord at this critical time in history. It's the only way to be successful in this terrible season. Being a watchman for the Lord, that is, one who is courageous and willing to learn and serve, who has a concern for the spiritual welfare of others, being a watchman is a high and noble calling. We invite you to embrace it. It doesn't matter what you've done. What matters now is what are you going to do for the Lord from this day forward? And don't think that you're not good enough, because friend, no one is good enough. Simply step out in faith and call on the name of Jesus for salvation. Turn to Jesus. Commit to live for Jesus. It is Jesus who makes change possible and happiness attainable, suffering bearable, sin forgivable, and heaven attainable. Turn to Jesus. Now, in this next segment, Scott's going to share a few more thoughts, and then I will lead in a model prayer for salvation. Scott?
This is part 3 of 3 of our post-rapture emergency message dealing with the subject of a very probable worldwide deception about aliens. If you have not heard parts 1 and 2, please be sure to listen to it first. Satan loves fear and confusion. He is a liar and thief. He loves to steal our joy and peace. He wants to hurt God by tricking you into following the Antichrist world leader, taking the mark of the beast on your right hand or forehead, and follow the broad road that leads to destruction. He wants to steal your glorious future with God. Friend, you must strongly resist this. You are in greater peril than you realize if you don't. I have given a great amount of thought to what things must be like for you right now. I sympathize and feel for you. Gary and I know you must have many questions. The many unknowns must be unsettling. And you are likely hearing many explanations for what has happened that point you away from the truth found in the Bible. You will be ordered to fall in line and follow the new global policies and systems. It will be extremely difficult for you and your loved ones. It is heartbreaking to warn you of such things. The wrath of God is being poured out on a rebellious and evil generation. Haven't you been thinking that something awful is looming? Did you really believe God wasn't going to step back in to save humanity? We cannot emphasize enough that Satan is real, Satan is on the move, and Satan is the great deceiver. If you want to know the truth, you must look to Scripture. The major institutions of the world have been compromised. You must now critically evaluate what the media, government, military, and religious leaders are saying, and you must judge what they are saying against what is stated in the Bible. The Bible contains information on what has happened and what will happen and what to do in the days to come. The Bible is your source of truth. Learning from it and clinging to the truth will put fear into better perspective and instill a sense of purpose into your life. Gary and I want that for you. Yes, times will be incredibly difficult. Many will die. But those who enter into a relationship with Christ will not have to make the journey alone. God is with you and will help you accomplish the great work that needs to be done. I have prepared a 13-part video teaching entitled, What Tribulation Saints Need to Know. That teaching series is included in the free Rapture Kit resource we hope you will download from this website. Click on the resources link in the menu. In the teaching series, I will, as a fellow brother in the Lord and as a coach, walk you through what you need to know, expect, and do for the Lord. The many other resources included in the free Rapture Kit download will help you as well. We encourage you to download this information soon, now, if possible, because it is not known how long this site will stay up. So download this information and share it with as many as you can. You must prevail. There are multiple ways to download and multiple sites to download from. It might be slow, but be patient and try over and over again until it is finished. Then, copy and distribute it on a 32-gigabyte USB drive if you can to others. You have our permission to do so. There is hope in the Lord, my friend. You may have missed the rapture, but you have not missed out on an opportunity to be saved by the Lord, to live for the Lord, and receive the promise to live forever in glory with the Lord. Gary and I look forward to seeing you one day in heaven. Now, Gary will conclude by talking about the fear you are likely going to experience and how you can overcome that fear by putting your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation. Gary?
Listen carefully, friend. If you have not yet placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I want to make it very clear that any exhortation not to fear is only for those who belong to the Lord through their faith in Jesus Christ. In the Bible, God never tells his enemies not to fear. Why? Because the unrepentant person who has not been cleansed of their sins, there's great reason to fear. Because one day they will stand before God and have to give an account of their life. Revelation 20 verse 12 notes that the books will be opened and all of the sinful things they have ever thought or said or done will be brought out into the open and they will be judged. And they will stand guilty of all their sins, even those they thought were secret and hidden. They will stand unforgiven. Let that sink in. And what Jesus will say to them is quoted in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Listen, quote, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practiced lawlessness." And the reaction from those who hear those devastating words are quoted in Matthew 25, verse 30. "Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I have often privately wondered what that person is thinking to cause them to weep and to be in such great torment that they would gnash their teeth. To me, the only thing that makes sense is that they realize, only too late, that everything the Bible said was true, that they needed redemption, and that they could have found salvation in Jesus Christ and spent eternity in heaven with a new and loving forever family. But instead, they're cast out, banished to the eternal lake of fire, forever to be separated from God. How horrible to realize the truth, but too late. I pray you understand you have been warned. So the statement, "I never knew you," they're excruciating words. Dear friend, you do not want to hear those words. Why don't you get right with God right now and know God, enter into relationship with God right now? Before you take your next breath, realize that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for all of your sins. Not some of them, not the majority of your sins, but for all of them. Jesus rose again from the grave, and he is offering you forgiveness and eternal life as a free gift to you if you place your faith and trust in him. Before you back away, before you resist, before you disqualify yourself from surrendering your life to Christ, know some central truths. Many hesitate to yield to the Lord, thinking that they're just not good enough, or they believe the things they've done can't be forgiven. That's a lie. The truth is expressed in Luke chapter 5, verse 31. We read, quote, "Jesus answered them, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick.'" Also note what it says in Matthew 18:11. We read, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." If you are sick, spiritually speaking, if you are lost, then you are the one that Jesus came to save. Friend, you are so loved. In 1 John 4:9, it says, "By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. The Father sent the Son so that we might have life, real life. Jesus is the light, and we can choose to have the light of life, as it says in John 8:12. "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who believes in me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life.'" What an amazing truth. Yield your life to Jesus Christ right now. Call out to him in prayer. And note that prayer is not a magic formula. Your prayer expresses your brokenness, your awareness that there's no other way for you to be saved except through Jesus Christ. It expresses that you're willing to humble yourself and to call out to him in your hour of greatest need. If this is your attitude, then pray something like this. "God, thank you for loving me. I'm so sorry for my sins. I want to turn away from them. I renounce them. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. So please forgive me. Wash away my sins. I trust in Jesus Christ to save me. Come into my life. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Make me into the person you want me to be and give me the strength to live for you. I surrender everything to you. My heart, my mind, my resources, and I commit to follow you for the rest of my life and to the best of my ability. In Jesus' name, amen." The Bible says that when you are born again, the very Spirit of God now resides in you. You have literally participated in a second birth, just as Jesus described it to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. One amazing result of this, just to give you great hope in your new faith, is found in verse 17 of John chapter 3. We read, "He who believes in him is not judged. Not now, not ever." Wow. You will no longer be accountable for the blackness and depravity of your sin, because all of that was forgiven when you became a born-again believer and follower of Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? You will stand blameless before Jesus, made pure, washed clean, and later in heaven, you'll be given a white robe, which signifies holiness. You will stand in purity before the very throne of God. The payment for your sin was thrust upon Jesus. He became a substitute sacrifice for all sinners. And his perfect life without sin, satisfying all of the requirements of the Old Testament law, is imputed to you for your good. You will worship the Lord forever because of this truth. I know you will. One more thing. Never evaluate your salvation by the feelings that you have. Feelings are a roller coaster. You may still fear from time to time. You may feel discouraged or worse. But I challenge you to be strong in the Lord. Understand that you are now His forever. It's an act of faith and belief and your will. You can choose well. There's much reason for you to rejoice, because we know the end of the story. We win. Good prevails over evil. And because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross many centuries ago, when you accept Him and believe, you inherit the win. You, my friend, are now on the winning side. Soon, you will either join us in heaven if you are martyred, or if you survive the entire tribulation, we will all be amazed by the restoration of all things during the millennial reign of Christ. Know this, our suffering can seem great, but it's only for a short while. Eternity awaits. And you will spend eternity in glory with the Lord and in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You are already blessed in your relationship with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever and ever. Therefore, it's exceedingly foolish to turn aside in pride or anger or disbelief. Yield fully to God's plan for your redemption and have peace in your heart and soul. If you do, there's nothing that can remove you from God's love. John 10, 27 and 28 reads, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Verse 28 reads, "I will give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand." You are forever secure in Jesus. Scott and I rejoice with you. We send our greetings and blessings to you in the powerful and matchless name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah.